4th or 5th of March, 1988, and I'm down at Sue Benny Gibson's place at Sparta, Kentucky.
And they said, well, could you show us where it is? We might want to buy some land and what for the trees. They said, well, said, there's not enough woods up there. We're not interested in it. Said, we need a whole lot of woods. So they come back to the hotel. And they, the next day or two, they fooled around there. And of course, people here didn't think, you know, about what could happen. So then one morning, that money was laid on the bank, on the desk for all their bills. They paid it, and the horses and the buggies, the horses and the buggy was gone. They had bought a shovel and a hoe or two, and they had the back of the buggy was always covered. It had a leather thing come down hooked over the back end, you understand, of the trap. And so Mr. Kelly said, what American's gone with them? Said they could have told us they was going. They'd begun to think funny then. And asked the old colored man, said, did you know when they went? He said, no, sir, boss, said they must have left tonight. Said, I stayed up late, and says everything, both horses gone, says ain't none gone. They just simply left. Well, that Kelly was Irishman, he begun to have his thoughts. So he begun to ask the nigger what he'd done. He said, well, he said, they kept asking me about land, and I took them out there and showed them where that old Eagle Oak, they seem interested in that. They wanted to hear about that, boss. And he said, I just took them. I went out there with them, said they took me in that fine buggy. And he said, I went out there with them and showed them, and they said, well, there wasn't enough woods around it. They wasn't interested. They was going somewhere to buy more woods. Well, Kelly got suspicious. So he had some men to go out there and take the old nigger, and there was two big kettles, big iron kettles, and they had iron tops on them. And you could tell, and Mr. Irvin, this boy, said I was young, about 14 or 15, and says, me and my oldest brother went to see him. And he said, we saw the kettle, and said, poor Mr. Baker was wringing his hands because he couldn't hardly make enough to live on, you understand, off that old poor land. And to think of all that money, it was full, there's no question doubt about it.
That was from the bank at
Carrollton. And the Southern soldiers had stolen it and hid it before the Yankees got there, you understand?
Yeah.
And
they raided it and made this Mrs. Garber hold the lamp. I don't know whether she was married then, and I don't guess she was. She was a young woman. And anyway, they took the money and their fine horses, and they was gone. Nobody could get them. Everybody realized what had happened after it was over.
Sue, you sound a little bit like a Confederate yourself.
Well, they all thought. You must remember, I'm part Marshal. And the Marshals were hot Southerners. And so my great grandmother, Marshall, whose sister was a great grandmother of the governor that's just left, the woman governor, you know. Yeah. And I told him when she went in, I said, you'll be lucky if the estate of Kentucky's left when she goes out. And she showed him just what she'd do. And my grandmother, as I told you, my great grandmother was a Marshal. So her brother come over, Thomas Marshall of Bucks Pond. You've heard of Bucks Pond.
Yeah.
Well, he was a man. He come over and he said, George, my great-grandfather was named George Washington White. He said, George, he said, Silas and John Marshall, John M., they called him, my great-grandfather, old enough to go to war. And he says, I suppose you're Southerners. He said, Mr. Marshall, they were respectful people. They didn't say dad or pop or old man or things like they do now. He said, Mr. Marshall, he says, my father fought with George Washington, and I'm named for him. And my sympathy is with the South, but he says, I can never fight against that flag. He says, you take your goddamn sympathy and go to hell, and don't you never darken my door again. Now, none of you nor none of your damn tribe. So there was no friendship between them, you understand? That's the way it was. And I read a piece not long ago that one of the marshals, who is that other marshal that was always in trouble in a fight with somebody and looked just like my mother, and he was at the Battle of Cynthiana where your grandfather was, And he was smart enough to leave. He said they was going to disrupt. And
who was his grandfather's name?
His great-grandfather. Ewell Gibson.
Ewell Gibson.
And he didn't give up.
He was Confederate.
He was mighty right. That's another story, but it's a long one. He fought under
Morgan.
Morgan. And incidentally, Morgan did not steal. He can tell you that. Morgan did not steal the money Mount Sterling. Mount Sterling. He wasn't there, and his father told him before he died. He knew the man that helped steal the money, and the man he knows where the engine. You can get that separately from him.
Was his dad a Civil War veteran?
No, but his father was.
His
father told him. Do you understand? Yeah. But the one of the men that stole the money told his father before he died, because his father had heard his bird up in that kind, Mr. Tilden Gibson, my husband. He was going to go dig for it. He said, "Now, Tilden, there's no use in you digging for that money. I know where it is." So then he told him the story. Now, Jim can tell you, because he's got total recall. He don't forget that.
Well, what was the story on that, Jim?
Hey, Jim, was put in the bank of Niagara, Canada.
Put it in the bank of where?
In Niagara, Canada.
In Niagara, in Canada? And then divided
and
it up.
Morgan didn't know one thing about it.
Never did go back to it.
Never did go back.
He got religion. And he said it was stolen. He told Mr. Tufts was the name, Jim.
Tufts, I can't remember whether Daddy said it was Tufts or...
It was Tufts, I think. T-U-W-P-S, Tufts. He was Mr. Tufts' neighbor.
Now, this was kind of Confederate territory, wasn't it, here?
Yeah. Owen County sent more soldiers to the Civil War in Southerners than any other county in Kentucky. And they sure played hell with us. They hung us and burnt us and done everything. And that's what broke Major Todd that lived here. And Major Todd was a first cousin of Mary Todd Lincoln. Samuel Todd settled it and built his cabin. They just torn it down about 20 years ago, the last part of it. And he come through here originally, Samuel Todd did, with the Rogers Rangers. Well, Rogers Rangers fought with that old, what was his name? That old general that had went up with the red
Clark.
Clark? No. Todd was one of them. He was there with him. He was with Rogers Rangers. Todd was. But during the war with the first war that England fought with France, 17. Way before 17.
Yeah.
He was with Rogers, what they call Rogers Rangers. In if you get your history book, you read
I'm
about
familiar
it.
With it.
And they George Rogers Clark come here when there was only three settlements in 17 and 77. The Boones and Hadsburg and Logansport was all the three that was left.
Yeah.
And they were at the end of the road. But George Rogers Clark happened to come in here, and they told him they had to have help or go out, that they couldn't hold it, you know. So he went all the way back to Virginia. And I think Jefferson or somebody like that was a governor of Virginia. And he got them to promise to send help. And they sent Rogers Rangers from this, where they've been fighting with the French, do you understand? And they come through here. And Todd come through here, and he said it was so pretty, come by Drennan Springs and all down there. And he said it was so pretty that he was going to come back someday. So Ollie Gale told me that the old Gales that used to own all that country, that her old great-grandfather John, she had a record that he come to Kentucky with old Samuel Todd. So if he did, he brought him from wherever he was after the war was over, do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
He brought him through here, and Todd, how many thousands of acres?
I don't know.
And Gale took thousands up down that way, what they call that Gale Road out there. There's still a lot of them owned it. And that's how come the Todd's here. That's how come Samuel Todd, and he settled right over there. He was the youngest brother. Now, I've had people to disagree with me. But, and this woman right here, see her? That's Polly Jennings. She was Polly born. And her mother was Lucy Todd. And Lucy Todd was Samuel Todd's youngest daughter. And they had one named Julia that they called Gooley, the kids did. And she married Conrad over in Grant County. Mm-hmm. And that's how she got the young, she was the youngest, and she got that place. Well, now the Riches have all been here. The oldest, Irene married Richie, and that's brick house, that yellow brick house up there. That's the old Richie home. They had hundreds of acres. Yeah. It's down now to just a, it's just sold. Just
tell me again for just a minute how you're related to the Arnotts, to Dick Arnott, Charlie Arnott.
To huh?
To Charlie Arnott. Tell me again how you're related.
How you was related to the Arnotts,
Charlie Arnott.
He was a step, he was my great aunt's mother. He was my great aunt's husband. And they raised my mother, her niece, from the time she was 8 years old. And the, you know, stepmother and everything. Tommy and the youngest one, this is Tommy, this is Dr. Arnott is Tommy's descendant. Uh-huh. And they didn't get along after Grandpappy died. They sued her, for she had a good deal of money, you understand? And they sued her for more money. He left it in his will, he didn't want her sued. As she had already done her part, but they sued her, and that kept the friendliness, that broke the friendliness, do you understand? Mm-hmm. But after this old dead, Reuben, who was an older son, his wife and I was friends. She was Turley from over in Gallatin County. We became friends, and this only boy was a little fella, Allie come back. Allie was Tommy's son. He lost both legs, you know, in under training.
He's the father of Dick and Charlie.
He's the father of Dr. Arnott.
Yeah.
Richard Allen Arnott. And we said there was going to be no more misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And he was like a brother to me. And so Richard, I'd be over there helping her. I would lost everything then. My mother was in a wheelchair. She married my father, and that's another story. He was a good man, but you know how money can go? Gimme. Yeah. He didn't have anything. So it all went, and I was left holding the bag. So I had been raised, my mother wanted to raise a swan, but she come up with a goose. I learned how to work, you understand?
Yeah.
She didn't. She'd never worked, and she didn't know how. They had plenty of money. So she went all to pieces, and I had to hold a sack, and my father had forged her name to a lot of checks, do you understand? Notes. So I had to work and pay them.
He probably want to look at this.
Yes.
You can't tell me. This was called the Little Barrens?
Little Meadow.
Little Meadow.
This was a little meadow. All around here. Wheatley, you go down around Wheatley Land.
Kind of a dog leg.
And north of one, but on the south of one, there's nothing but hills and bushes.
This was open, probably buffalo. And
it was
all
just
sorts
an open section of land that was all bluegrass, bluestone.
How come it was bare? Do you have any idea?
Huh?
How come it was barren? Do you have any idea?
Some of it was, and some of it was woods.
It was all woods.
So level and so pretty.
Aunt Polly told me that she come here as a little child with her mother when they cut the wood for this house. And she said they was all poplar trees, and it took three of her children.
Some of them, but it wasn't near as wooded as the rest of it.
Yeah.
And anyway, they cut the lumber for this house.
You know,
this house is built out of the old one. Go get a picture of the old house.
Lexington had enormous woodland pastures, what it was. And this was similar to, I understand, Lexington.
Oh, I was under the impression that maybe it was just mainly grass.
No, it was large woods, but it was so flat.
Yeah.
See, if you get out of this dog leg, you get some mighty rough country through this section.
Yeah.
And it just sort of runs from on to Wheatley and makes a dog leg kind of a swing.
Was Sparta a resort town at one time?
No, Sanders was.
Sanders.
That's a little below Sparta.
Is that where you're talking about those hotels?
No.
The hotels?
Sparta had a bunch of hotels.
It was a resort area or what?
Kind of, but not as near as Sanders. Sanders had a Blue Lake Spring.
Yeah. How big was
Blue Lake Spring. The Gale started that, you know.
Sparta.
Old Robert Gale.
Now, you're talking about Blue Licks?
No,
down here at Sanders. There used to be a family. The big old hotels that used to be down there. He was one of the owners of the Short Line L&N Railroad.
Yeah.
And he was Robert Gale. And all, there may be a few of his descendants left, but the last two old maids that I knew, they're dead and gone. And he built that big White Hotel that's down there. And they used to, all people come to the, you know how they used to go through the weekend. Or have you heard about it?
I had
pictures of people taking down. I don't know what to come up.
Does the lick still, is the lick still running?
Yeah, but the people that's bought it won't allow nobody to come to it. And everybody's mad about it because it was always open.
Yeah.
My father made me drink a drink once, and I thought it was rotten eggs, and I spit it out. It was awful.
Did the railroad come through here?
Yes, ma'am, and Robert Gale was the one behind it. Old John's second daughter, the first, second son, his son was here. His great-grandson was here. Old John's great-great-grandson was here this summer from Georgia. He's down in Georgia. He still owns 1,000 acres.
Well, most of the people came to these hotels maybe out of Louisville and Cincinnati or other places?
That short line run from Louisville to Cincinnati and on into Nashville, Tennessee, because Ms. Onit always went on it. It went on to Nashville, Tennessee, and was called the Short Line Railroad. And he was one of the biggest owners of it. And he built this hotel, and he sold his land here. I know where it's located and everything. And he had a man there that worked these
telegraph
thing. And that man is the father of the Jacobs girls that you hear so much about down there. They owned a hotel for a long time.
Well, which is the county seat of this county? Orenton is county seat, right?
Orenton's the county
seat. Okay, now this is a catch. A lot of the records is in Warsaw because one time it was
part of Galton.
Part of Galton County.
So the early records would be in...
The real early records is in Warsaw.
Would be in Warsaw. And John Finley, you have... he died apparently in Kentucky, right?
That's what we've been told, and then we've had other tales that he was died of old man in somewhere around Tinkling Springs,
Virginia. That's what this history.
Now this is the only picture that we can find.
These people that had all that money to get a picture of it, they had a great many made of it.
Talkers of the Wilderness, yeah. Well, see, my interest in Finley is that I'm trying to get a national park made for him. And
well, these people would be fine to contact them. They'd come in. They've got money. You understand? They've got money, and they put it out. They build churches and everything.
Well, you don't know what they're doing to this talk, though.
These people live in Texas?
Yeah, Lubbock.
Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock. And, yeah, her husband was a professor at Lubbock Technical College.
Uh-huh.
He's retired now. Her brother runs a 4 Sixes ranch.
Uh-huh.
The second largest ranch in the world. That's at
the Finleys are on over there. She's done a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah. They're all down in that part of the country? In Lubbock, Texas, right?
Lubbock, mm-hmm. Texas.
Yeah.
She's a Mrs. I've got her name.
Jones. Hazel Gibson
Mrs. Jones.
And
the pictures is in there. Go on back and look at the pictures.
In the back.
In the back. Okay.
There's my grandfather.
Oh, no kidding. Was he a soldier at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ewell Gibson. That's.
There's Mr. Gibson. Which one's your daddy, Jim?
Right there.
Right there.
Huh.
That's Uncle Herman. That's Winfred's father's store at the Forks of the Elkhorn.
Yeah.
But don't mention any Indians to her. She got mad at me because I told about the Indians. She told her husband she'd go kill him if he said anything about it out in Texas. We like the Indians.
Yeah. But I'm going to follow Tennessee and so forth.
That's her father.
You probably is good in that.
Masterson Bunkhouse.
Regent on the back.
Hazel Jones. Is this their address?
I guess so.
Let me see.
Let me taken prisoner as...
Wasn't he 15, Jim?
Listen,
let me tell it as I have to.
In the Army? Was this during the Civil War?
Yes! He was a young boy, 15 years old, and he was at home.
His grandfather.
See that old guy up there? Yeah. That big tall guy. Ewell Gibbs.
He was 15.
And his mother sent him to ask him to please give him a mule back. They'd taken everything they had, and he knew his daddy was gone after his money, but he didn't know he was dead, you know, understand? So when he went to the Yankees and asked the officer to please give him a mule, one of the neighbors says, that's one of the sons of bitches, take him with you. So they took him prisoner, and while he was prisoner, they bought in his daddy's money belt. He had his money belt, it was an elk skin around him, and his Bible. And they said, well, we've got that son of a bitch, he's dead. And they poured the money out, and he saw his father's 60, says, 60,000, says, we've made a hole. We've got 60,000 off of the old SOB, you know. And then they took him prisoner, and poor thing, and put him, you know, there was a place up on Lake Erie where they kept prison camp. And some of them says he got loose, some of them said he was so thin, he was 6'2" or 6'3". And they exchanged it.
You mean they put a 15-year-old boy on that prison?
They kept him 2 years, wasn't it, Jim? He lived on rats. Yeah. He dressed rats and lived.
Where did they pick him up? Where was it he surrendered?
Tennessee. Tennessee, it's close to what is that place? Renford can tell you.
I know it was.
He got out of the Army.
He
got out of the prison some way. We never have figured out. He was exchanged, I think. And then he joined Morgan's Raiders. He asked to join for a scout or...
Wait a minute. He hitchhiked and hid and got to New York City.
He got to New York somewhere.
Where he'd never been before. And he saw a cattle boat that was being shipped out for the Yankees. They were shipping cattle to feed the Yankees, you understand? And he stowed away among the cattle and got back in. And then...
Into where?
To back in south, somewhere in South Carolina. And he beat his way up to Tennessee and hid and starved. And he got with Morgan's men, and they made him a scout. And before some way...
His name was...
Was Ewell Harrison Gibson. And some way or somehow, he got during the war and the late part of the war, he got a hold of the 8 neighbors that killed his father, and they knew he shot him. But they said they shot him right before him, said, we killed that son of a bitch. And he hung all 8 of them, one at a time.
Ewell did.
He never did deny it. He never did say he had done it. There was another one, Travis Gibson, was into it too, his brother.
Was this in Elk Valley or somewhere?
Huh?
Yeah.
Elk Valley? Tellico? Where was it?
Somewhere to course that.
Yeah.
And then he was with them when they got to Cynthiana. You know that was when the last battle. He told them that night, he says, we are tired, but he said we mustn't stay here. But he was a scout, and so he told Mr. Gibson that he loosened his saddle girth, but he didn't take his saddle off his horse. He fed him all he could get on him. He could ride anything, I guess. He was 6 foot. This boy, this is his great-great-grandson. He's graduating this year. My daughter's son at Wauchula, and he's going in. He's already joined the Army Intelligence. He made the highest grade of 20 or 30 men. And anyway, old Ewell he told him that night, he said, they're going to get us. And so when he heard the shooting begin, he fixed his horse right quick, and with some men, I guess those Tufts was with it, they said, we're going back up in, what is that creek, where we was raised, Savin Creek, says, we're going there, and says, you can go with us if you want to.
Savin Creek, where is that?
Well, it's in Oakland
County.
It's a dump hole of one county.
Well, that was that was the next, that day that they were leaving. They fought all night around the outside of the
Sindana.
Yeah.
And anyway, they got away. There was four of them, I think.
Five or six.
Was it? Anyway, there was a Tolls in it, and there was a Paxton and a Hammond. And one of these Tups.
Kempers.
And Kempers. Of course, the Kempers are kin to me. And they're fighting SOBs. And that's been, I mean, and Marshall Kempers bad stuff. And they hit in that cave. What is that cave?
Down Severn and Cedar.
And anyway.
How do you spell Severn?
Same as you do Severn in England. That's what was named for. It was named for the
creek. It's really spelled S-E-V-E-R-N.
I don't know where that is. I got to locate that one, Severn Creek.
And it's a dump hole. It tells me now.
It's between Monterey and Orton.
Okay. It's somewhere down in there. And the woman he married, that little woman up there, her mother was a Claxton. And the Claxtons were a very old family that came from Virginia, very wealthy, and what is known as Claxton's Ridge now. They had about 500 acres. And they were considered, that's where my daughter gets her brain.
Did
you ever hear of Joe Claxton?
No.
He's in the paper a lot up at Covington. He's a very big guy up there.
No, I don't
fall. Well, you hear something about him.
But now, go back to Yule. What happened to Yule then?
Well, he hid out, and her mother fed him in this cave that the children have been over there to see it, Allerly and Mr. Justice, and he's sometime a government man. He wears a badge under his shirt.
Well, don't get into that.
No, I won't. Anyway, they went over there to see this cave, and she fed him for years, and then he fell in love with this little young girl. She was just about like that. She wasn't bigger than a pound of soap. But they're the gamest bunch you ever saw when she was born. Whenever you hear anybody's part told, you can just say they're rattlesnake. And anyway, she fed him, and he married her. But he had two sons before they hunted him for this killing. He never neither denied it nor affirmed it.
Was Jesse James through this country?
Oh, yes, he was with Jesse James. That's what made the people.
Who was with Jesse James?
Huh?
Yule, your grandfather?
He was with him, and heard this woman in Texas, and when I told her, she got mad at me and never been friends with me.
Where was he with Jesse James?
Jesse James's home is right up here close to Midway.
He said, where was he with Jesse James? He was all over.
He's all over. Indiana and everywhere.
And it's all Jesse's race, huh?
Yule didn't give up. He didn't take amnesty until late
70.
He had two sons.
What year was Yule born?
Down in Tennessee.
What year? It's in that book.
Yeah. It's in that book.
So he was actually your grandfather, so he was a pretty old man then.
Yeah. See, my father would be 100 and...
He was 60-some-odd years old when I married him. I married a tenant. I needed a man to work and make a living.
So you took
And he needed a home.
Yeah.
He was broke. He'd lost everything he had.
You mean Jesse James hadn't left him any money?
No, he didn't have any money. He didn't have a dollar.
See, my grandfather was Yule, and my father was Tilden.
Yeah.
He was born in 1877.
77. He was born 2 years later than my mother. Yeah. He was 2 years younger than my own mother.
But do you know anything about Yule's experience with Jesse James?
I never saw the old man, but once I saw him accidentally on a bus.
We know he had dinner with him two or three times in Orton.
Had dinner with him in Orton, yeah.
And we do know he rode with him, but we don't know too much about it.
Well, we know his
He come up missing, and he tell me he's been out scouting around.
But what made the woman out in Texas mad? And for God's sake, don't tell her.
That's in the book, what you told her about. Yes,
but she denied it in the book, too.
She denied it, but
Mr. Gibson,
history proves that it was.
Isla Lee was going with the Chadwell. When she, Isla Lee went, we put her at Midway School because we were so old, you understand? She had a brilliant mind. She paid her way from the time
That's
she was.
Your daughter?
Yeah. From the time she was seventh, in the seventh grade, she went, started in the seventh grade, and she finished her school in there. And then married this little nut down here. Well, he was of a good family, but he looked like that. Who was
Elvis
it? Elvis Presley, and I couldn't keep her from marrying him. So she made a mistake, and she left him and went to Florida and married the second one. And he got on dope, now she's married the third one. That's her, but she's smart. She's capable of taking care of herself. And anyway, this boy, this Chadwell, Chadwell that loved her so when she was going to school up there, they fell out. And he, after she'd married, he'd been in the
Army.
He was in the Army. He was a graduate of Millersburg, you understand? And then he went into the Army. I think he was in intelligence too, because he was in Germany for years. And Mr. Gibson was down in a bed in that. And he come down here to see us. And he was sitting by the side of Mr. Gibson's bed talking to him. And Mr. Gibson asked him, he said, now you tell it. He said, are you any kin to?
Dad, he said, Dad, then who did you say you were? And he said, I'm a Chadwell. Dad, are you any kin to Bill Chadwell? He said, yes, sir. He said, it's my great uncle.
He said, did you know him?
He said, did you know him, Miss Gibson? Dad said, yep. Yeah. Said he was with Jesse James in Northfield, Minnesota. He gave the year and date. He said, that's right, he was killed there. He said, my Uncle Pryor was by his side when he was shot. And he said he saw Bill was shot dead. And he said he hauled out of there. He said he knew he couldn't help him. He would have if he could. And he went on to ask him, he said, did you ever see Bill? He said, not as I know of, but he said, I
said,
eight or 9 years old when Jesse was finally killed.
Yeah.
So he goes, what Dad says to possibly been true.
And you
know what? He said he knew at least two men up in that country that did ride with
him. Lived near him, up there north and on, north of him. And Tufts was one of them. He was at the Battle of Cynthiana, and he was one of the men that stole the money and.
Well,
that man
he's the one that they broke off there at Cynthiana. They was cut to pieces.
But Morgan didn't know anything about it.
No.
And they robbed the bank before they left, and Morgan did not know anything about it. He was accused of robbing it, and I want his name to be clear.
Well, Morgan is a relative of mine.
He was. Mm-hmm. Well, will you please see that he gets credit for it?
And through my grandmother, she always claimed that she was his first cousin. Now, I haven't taken time to run that down yet. But it sounds like you've got a real fascinating family. I've taken up enough of your time this morning. It's 12 o'clock.
Listen, we've got more time than anything else. And I'm the only one short of time, maybe.
Oh, Sue, the way you're doing great.
I don't know.
Sure you are.
You know, they come here by the droves.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't tell them.
Are they interested in what are they interested in? General history?
Everything and everybody for generations. They come from one, cut that thing off. Let's remember, come here. He's kin to old Sarah Jennings that married Winston Churchill's ancestors.
What kind of timber did you buy, and how big an acre did you get?
It's about 12 acres.
Yeah. Is it?
Poplar, oak. I cut two logs. Cut three logs. I sawed out 1,000 foot of lumber.
1,000 foot. Were there any salt springs in this area?
No salt springs, but lick springs.
Yeah. And now that's down below here now.
That sand is about 2 miles over the hill.
2 miles
Well, it's right in the town. It's just in the town. But the big house is there.
There's
the big house.
There's a state plaque. I was down there to it.
Well, I better go and leave you all alone. I'm going to come down again shortly.